We've been hearing a lot lately about the mind-body connection. Today, the effect of spirituality on children. Columbia University psychologist Lisa Miller says it is essential for healthy brain growth and a thriving child. And what's more, when spirituality is stunted, say by parents who feel uncomfortable because they don't have answers to kids' curious questions, it can stunt growth, just like not doing math can limit our ability to do math. She also says there's a surge of spirituality in adolescence that often reads as risky behavior.
Let's hear it for Lisa Miller and Robin Young.
Lisa Miller's new book is The Spiritual Child, The New Science of Parenting for Health and Lifelong Thriving. Last week, we sat down at Temple Beth Elohim in Wellesley, Massachusetts, on Yom Kippur, a somber day of atonement. Congregants had been fasting all day, and I jokingly told them they'd applaud anything we said because they were dizzy with hunger, but they were hungry for answers. Lisa began by defining spirituality as a personal relationship to a higher power, even nature, as opposed to religion, which is a belief system. You can have spirituality in religion and without it. Here's Lisa Miller.
So this is a very important point. I'll start with the science. If you put people into an MRI, you find that those who have a sustained personal relationship with God in the way that we've been discussing it have a thicker cortex in the parietal and occipital regions, the same regions that would be thin in people with recurrent major depression. That is a finding published in JAMA about a year ago that says that the same regions that are thin with recurrent depression are thick if there's a strong spiritual life. The way to spiritually based life can happen in a sense of oneness. It can happen in our rich indigenous traditions in a sense of spirit and in through living beings. But it is reaching that same deep heritable capacity for relationship to God or the universe.
This is why you are very much against tribal spirituality, this idea of our God is the best God. You actually encourage people to have their children.
Multilingualism, very important. The child is born naturally spiritually alive and inquiring and eager to run into this synagogue and that mosque and this church and that graveyard.
You say go with them.
Go with them. By the time a child is six, without that introduction to the spirit, many spiritual expressions of the world, at age six, Azar and Banaji's team at Harvard showed that a child is more likely to say that their family's name for God is more real than the name of God used by the family down the street of another faith tradition. And they are more likely to share their peanut butter sandwich with the child who uses this home-based name for God than that other name for God. And now we have a world on fire because people can't agree with the symbolism that we give to God.
So you're saying they're born with this innate acceptance and then that something happens and changes it.
But we can teach a child to hear of the redemption, the birth of spring, a new child's life. Spiritual events can be heard through the language of four different faith traditions in kindergarten, and the child can become multilingual. They still have their home religion.
Well, this leads you to spirituality should be taught more in schools. Multilingual spiritualism. The columnist David Brooks in the New York Times picked this up and pushed for it. But you know, the concern is that it will become teaching dogma, teaching ideology. How do you convince someone who's afraid of having spirituality in school that it won't become that?
Well, the child is spiritually alive whether or not we acknowledge it. Now, it doesn't mean that in a public school we speak only about one religion. I think a class in which we look at many faith traditions and welcome the child to speak in the first person about their own personal spiritual life is a way of acknowledging spirituality in our human condition.
And you'd have to include the child who doesn't feel that there is God. I mean, it would have to be that broad.
And in fact, there's data on that. About 20% of people are virtuous humanists for whom the deepest meaning comes in the space between people. And they are every bit as much associated with a virtuous life. To omit that from our discussions is to leave a big gaping hole in the center of civilization.
You make the point several times that little children have this feeling of spirituality, and as they grow older, preteens, and I remembered mine. And I wonder if people, you know, everyone here might think back, do you remember having a moment and you just feel one with everything? I was walking through a cornfield. I'm from Long Island, but I was walking through this cornfield, and
I mean, Bellura Salt. I just felt the best I've ever felt in my life in a cornfield.
How old were you?
I was about 11.
So right around the time of puberty, there is spiritual awakening. It's tied into biological spiritual awakening. Most cultures on Earth show this in their traditions, that coming-of-age ceremonies are intertwined with augmented spiritual awareness. There's a hunger to know, what is my meaning? What is the purpose? What is the meaning, the purpose? And a hunger of the heart to feel transcendence.
And there are late nights moaning and groaning about a Fred who hasn't called, or driving a car too fast. I mean, a lot of teenage behavior that we either roll our eyes at or get angry about is this surge.
Unmidwifed spiritual awakening. So spiritual awakening happens from the inside out, and we can show up and guide that towards an integrated view of what is my purpose on earth, what is my contribution, how do I pray, how do I connect with God, or we can let it go willy-nilly, and that's where we get drunken driving, that's where we get jumping off a bridge, that's where we get risk-taking as a way to feel and transcend.
So what should parents do? Let's go back to children. You say that not only can and should parents nurture, but they can do the opposite. Give me an example of how a parent might react in those, what we now see as spiritual moments.
So in the most tongue-tied, unsure moment, we can simply show up, right? And there are many people who don't want to say the wrong thing or impose their half-baked beliefs on their child, but to simply show up and think of the child as a knower. Their question rarely is seeking a direct answer. It's actually saying that they're onto something. So we can sit by their side and see where they take us. Because shutting down the child takes away the opportunity for the child to step forward.
So when you have a child, you don't have to know the answers. You just have to let them do the exploration. Teenage years. Mm. And they have come home drunk, or they have tried drugs. Where is the spiritual conversation there?
I have spoken to so many young adults who said, all I wanted was for someone to say, you know, in this late night drinking, where is your deep personal meaning? I had a fellow come to me who was addicted to pornography. He was the golden boy of his town. He was class president, all the while feeling dirty and bad and hidden. He said, all I wanted was at 16 for someone to say, where in your relationship with women, with girls, is your spirituality? He wanted someone to help him put it all together. Mm-hmm. But by leaving spirituality out of adolescent development, we have an empty train run wild, and then we have a withering spirituality over here.
You point out that often what they're trying to do is find that same feeling. Smoking marijuana, well, it made me feel so mellow, and it made me feel good, like I felt when I was in that forest with the stars when we were camping. There is a correlation for them.
There's a very, science supports that very strongly. The one reason that I hear most frequently cited by parents that we don't pursue spiritual life is that we're too busy, right? So the race to travel soccer and the race to cello lessons and the extra math. But actually, it turns out that there's nothing as predictive of thriving and even outward success as a strong inner life.
Two things. You can have spirituality without religion.
Yes.
And religion can be a negative if it's rigid religiosity.
So there are studies that show the power in religion comes in shaping the deep natural spirituality of the child, how a child talks directly to Hashem, the higher power, whatever tradition the child's raised in. But there are cases in which a rigid adherence that does not allow for the child to essentially breathe into it, to question.
That can actually lead a child to have more dangerous risk-taking behavior.
Yes, that loses its protective benefits. The personal relationship to the higher power, that has been shown in adolescence to be 60% protective against severe depression, 80% protective against dangerous risk-taking. There is nothing in the clinical or medical sciences as profoundly protective against the most common forms of suffering in the second decade as a strong personal spiritual life.
Psychologist and author Lisa Miller, and again, she told the congregation at Beth Elohim Temple that a strong spiritual life in children can be through an organized religion or not. We leave you with this story.
I met a young Cherokee woman, actually, at a healing ceremony in the West, and she said, you know, I was raised by my grandma. My mom was an addict, and my grandma, she just loved me. And I sat at the kitchen table. We'd talk night after night. And when my grandma died, I had nobody. So I want you to know. So she's telling us, so that I'll tell you, that I would climb up into a tree. There was a great, great tree. And that tree was a place of peace. And I want you to know that tree raised me. So it doesn't take a rat race to make a child who's fulfilled. It takes actually sitting by their side and cultivating a spiritual life.
Columbia University psychologist Lisa Miller, her book, The Spiritual Child, at Beth Elohim Temple in Wellesley, Massachusetts, which, by the way, has a resident composer, Noah Aronson, who right after we spoke sang a song using our words. We'll post the entire song at hereandnow.org.
Days pass and the years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. God, fill our eyes with seeing and our minds with knowing. Let there be moments when your presence, like lightning,